All right. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us. Thank you for your grace. Lord, we pray that you would draw near to us, Father, as we draw near to thee. Help us be faithful to you, Lord. Help us to be like you. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 4, Revelation 1, verse 4, it says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits and who are before the throne of God, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. This morning, I want to talk about the Lord, and I want to talk about his delivering us from our sins and what that means. He is and is to come and will never be defeated. We were talking this week at one point, and God cannot be defeated because God is good. That can't be defeated. The flesh can never rise up and hurt God in any way. It's just like us. Whenever we're doing right, flesh and blood cannot harm us. It has no power over us. That's how you overcome evil with good. You don't let it overcome you. You overcome it with good. And that's why God is who he is. And that's why he is forever. Because he can't be defeated by evil. He can't be brought in to it. Whenever we choose him and become a part of him, we can become like him. And it says in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He's witnessing who God is. He's trying to bring him to us. He's bringing Christ. Christ is bringing God to man. That's the gospel. We were in this world. We were of the world. That simply means that we were of Satan's kingdom. And Christ has now brought us into that. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Released us from our sins by his blood. In Hebrews, it says, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, cleaned from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." You know, whenever we talk about forgiveness, a lot of times people all over the world, they're seeking forgiveness. What it means, what Jesus delivered us from, there's two or three things. He delivered us from the judgment that comes with following Satan. Satan will be cast into hell and all those who follow him. He's delivered us from that. But that's just one of the things that he delivered us from. He's also delivered us from the power of sin. That we can now be set free to do his will. To be a witness. To be a part of the family of God. And he's also set us free from the bondage of a conscience of our sin. That's what I want to mostly dwell on today. Having our consciences cleansed from sin. That's one thing that, you know, a lot of people are struggling with, or a lot of people think about, well, am I saved? I don't know whether I'm saved or not. We teach that it's not up to us to really know that we're saved. We don't teach an assurance that I just know I'm saved. But we do know whether we've been cleansed or not. We do know whether our consciences have been cleansed. And the way we know that is by what's happening in our minds and in our conscience. Have they been cleansed? Or is it still full of guilt? Is it still full of condemnation? And that's what I want to try to bring out. You know, I want to paint some pictures in your mind. You know, whenever I began preaching a long time ago, one of the first things I ever said is, whenever I was preaching, I said, "I'm not preaching to the people out there." You know, in the evangelical churches, when you get up and if you really run down the people who drink, or you really run down the people who just stand, jump up and down, yeah, they're sinners. That's sin. Nobody in the church does any of those things. Homosexuality, that's sin. Yeah, people, yeah, he really tells the truth. He lays it right out. That don't mean anything to me, and it never has. To be able to preach to someone outside. To preach is to preach to the people who are right in front of you. And if we can't do that, then forget it. I want to talk to you people. You know, we can look out at the world, and Cale brought up, why? I've thought about this before. I mean, how is it that I was born where I was born? I mean, I could have been brought up and in the middle of Iraq and been ready to throw a bomb and think that I'm pleasing God. Being taught that all my life. And I just think, you know, we've talked about the young people before, and you young people, and the dangers that you have. You know, whenever we look at, I've heard several times this week, people just lamenting how the young people in this world, how just they are absolutely, there's just no hope for them. They just, how far they've fallen. How deep that they don't care about anything except having a good time. Entertaining themselves. Doing whatever they think. Spoiled rotten. Just being able to do whatever they want to do. Does that look pleasing? Will they ever have anything to look forward to? You look at people that live that way whenever they get 40 years old. They look like they're 70. They're miserable. That's what we look at and see as the world. That's the world. I don't want that. That's the world. No hope. Brought up in a city maybe and nothing but drugs and alcohol, corruption, perversion all around them. Being mistreated, being screamed at when they're just fighting all the time. But that's the world. No hope for anything. And our young people are taught to work and to be faithful and to be loyal, to be committed. Oh, that's hard. That's a cross. That's hard. No, it's not. That's a blessing. You think because you can't get involved in all the world and what they're doing, that you're bearing a cross. Well, you're not bearing a cross. It's the biggest blessing that you could ever happen to you. The thing that people talk about this nation being a great nation, why it was a great nation is because people were taught to live just like you're being taught how to live. And that is not a cross. It's a lot harder growing up in a home where you don't even know who your daddy is. Growing up in a home where all your mother knows how to do is scream and yell you and tell you to get out of her way. Go out and play in the street. See the drug dealers and the whores out there standing out there growing up being your idols that you look up to. One of them taking you under your wing. Learning how to cuss and fight. Kill if you have to. And watching your buddies get killed. Being in some gang because that's the only security you can find. And we can raise our families in this nice setting. And look at all those poor sinners. What is the cross in your life? Some people have to live in terrible situations. What's your cross? I hear people that have grown up in settings like this tell someone to carry their cross. Like the way they're living is a burden to them. And it's a burden living right. Being cleared of a clear conscience, having a clean conscience. Some of us, your cross may have to be to put up with someone that doesn't or wasn't trained to live just like you are. That may be your cross. Someone may not be able to live up to your expectations. That may be your cross. You might not have a cross where your family's going to reject you because all your family is trying to serve the Lord. So trying to serve the Lord is not going to be a cross to you. But having to deal with people and help people who turn their back on you, steal from you, abuse you because you're trying to help them might turn out to be your cross. Being cleansed is a blessing. Something to rejoice about. God has sent His Son to cleanse us. Not just the dirty, filthy world, but to cleanse us. To give us a pure heart and a pure mind. Are we cleansed? Sometimes we're trained to live holy. So we live holy and we look down our noses at everybody else. I remember one time in front of a church and some people drove up that didn't drive a black car. And I heard the boys, the holy boys out front saying, "What are they doing here?" Someone they might have to deal with that don't live the way they do. Made me sick. Cleared from a clear conscience. How do someone brought up to live right, how do they live holy? How is their heart? How are they cleansed? You know, there's a lot of talk. A man named Bruce Jenner came out now and said that he's had these impulses. This strong inclination that he's really a girl inside. And we look at that and think, oh, that's disgusting. But why is he feeling that way? Satan is trying to get all of us. We look at that and we say, look at the spirit behind that. There's just this impulse, this driving something in their heart and in their mind that just makes them think something that's wrong. And he's dealing with that and he's living with that. People that are queers or homosexuals, they just say, "Oh, I've just got this desire in my heart. And I just can't get rid of it. It's just there. It's so powerful. Just I can't get free from it. It's just on my mind all the time." What is it? It is Satan having control, putting impulses in your mind and in their hearts. Making them confused to where they can't even tell whether they're a boy or a girl or not. Men want to dress like girls because they feel like a girl. Girls want to dress like the boys because they feel like a boy. That's confusion. It's wrong. And we look at that and we say, yeah, that's wrong. But then there's people sitting in church. They don't have thoughts like that. But they look across the aisle and they see a brother or sister. And they just are so consumed with thoughts about that other person. And they just every time they think, "Oh, that just bothers me. That just upsets me. That just bothers me. It's just choking me." About how somebody else is doing. What's the difference in those impulses? Where do they come from? It's the same spirit that's impulsing, causing you to do something. It might not be thinking you're a boy or a girl when you're not. It may just be the way you think about a brother that you just can't let it go. It's just this compulsion. Maybe it stems from a conscience that hasn't been cleared or cleansed. Maybe it stems from a conscience that's filthy. A conscience of how you used to live. And now you're trying to project that on somebody else. What is the difference between that and what we think the world is doing? It's sin. It's the world. No matter how holy you live. If you listen to Satan, that's who you're following. And if the way he's talking to you, let me tell you something. God does not burden you about someone else to make you feel disgust for the way they're living. God does not do that. God, to the pure, all things are pure. God is good, and He overcomes good by being good. He doesn't just put something on us and make us feel so dirty whenever we think about somebody else. It's the spirit of the world. People with perverted minds that project their perversion to other people. There's nothing clean and pure and holy about that. It's a sign of an uncleansed conscience. Christ came to set us free from those things, to cleanse us. Revelation says they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. Do you think it was their testimony? Let's just turn to that. Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. They overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb. I know there's a lot of too much emphasis on the blood in some places. That it just wipes away everything and you're just going to heaven. But the blood of the Lamb is what cleanses our consciences from sin. That's what has set us free. And they overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb. How do you overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb. Someone that's been entangled in sin. And then it's just taken away. Like that was a complete different person and I've been made clean again. And now I can choose to do what's right. I've been set free and now I want to rise up and follow Jesus. I don't want to get back entangled to that filth that was in my mind. I want to go forward. But someone who hasn't been cleansed from that, their mind is perverted. They can live as holy as all get out. They can sit in church, but their minds are projecting what they're thinking, what they feel, what they know. What they are on everybody they see. They're suspicious because that's what's in their hearts. They haven't been cleansed from it. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Not how they can exalt themselves above everybody else. Not how they can feel better than everybody else. And it's difficult when you grow up and you haven't done a lot of bad things. But you still need your conscience cleaned. You still need your heart cleansed. You still need to let those things go. I'm not talking about, oh, I know I'm saved. You probably may still doubt. But if you're still projecting your thoughts and your wicked mind on somebody else's life, there's something wrong. You ought to be the most thankful, humblest people in the world. We've been set free from having to deal with all those things the world deals. But to just get ourselves and make ourselves so religious so we can think that we're better than everybody else. And have to just keep everything away from us. We're set free. And not to be brought under the bondages of those things. Even the bondage of religion. God does not cause us to obsess about someone else's sin. That is as demonic as Bruce Jenner. If you're obsessing over someone else's sin, that's as demonic as someone who thinks they were born a homosexual because that's their thoughts. And that's their thought life. God came to set us free. And our message is that cleansing and that freedom from these things. We can sit in church and still be obsessed. Just like those people that we think about. You know, we think about someone that's an alcoholic and we see them ruin their whole life. Lose their business. Lose their family. And we say, oh, they know better. Why don't they quit that? Because they're obsessed in their mind with just getting drunk again. They wake up and they wish they wouldn't have, and then they go find it again. Someone that just loses their family, their home, their life, everyone turns against them. They wind up in jail because they take a pill or they shoot something into their arm. They become obsessed with it. See how evil it is? And people become just as obsessed with their own self-righteousness. And there is not one bit of difference in that. Not one. But it just looks a lot better. It's acceptable. But it's the same filthy, stinking, rotten sin that we hate when we see someone destroying their lives. Christ came to set us free from Satan and his wickedness. That's our message. Freedom. Cleansing. And we can have it. It's available to everyone. But it's fun not to forgive. It's fun to dwell about all the things they've done wrong to me, and I want to be mad and I want to get revenge. It's fun to think how bad someone else is. Because it kind of makes us feel a little better. But the problem is all right in here anyway. It's all right there in our own minds, our own filthy minds anyway. If you can't get over something, you're a slave to it. A slave to it. A slave to Satan. Jesus came to set us free. He came to set us free. There's things we all deal with. But He came to set us free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If your religion's just an obsession of somebody else's wrong, you're not one bit different than the drunkard who can't quit drinking. You're still a slave, still a servant to the king of this world. Religion so nicely covers all that up. But it's the same thing. Satan is a master at being an angel of light. He's a master at it. Disguising darkness with a nice appearance, a nice religious appearance. He came to set us free. That's why He shed His blood. That's why He overcame him. So that we could. Not with religion. Not with my own personal holiness. But by His blood, He sets us free. Does that mean you're going to just feel saved all the time? No, I hope not. But are you cleansed? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Sin. Those things in our mind. Not that there ain't none of you going to be tempted to go get drunk this afternoon, I don't think. There's nobody here going to be tempted to run off with somebody else's wife here, I don't think. There's nobody here going to be tempted to go steal something or to go out and tell a lie. Are you? You think that's going to bother you? Is that our fight? None of you women are going to be tempted just to take your veil off and go to the beach in a bikini. Is that your fight? I don't believe it is. Our fight's keeping our minds pure and our hearts pure. Just doing all of those things right is not it. It's being cleansed. Most of us have been trained that way. Never to do those things. Jesus came to set us free. Religion has shrouded itself in keeping those few things and looking good. And we can still have the same corrupt, obsessive mind about somebody else. And it's just as much poison as what the world has. I could preach about all those things. I could preach about a covering. I could preach. Everybody'd say amen. Oh, you're really telling it straight. Make you just feel wonderful because you're, oh yes, I'm wearing a covering. Oh yes, I'm got one marriage. Oh yes, I love my enemies. God's come to clear our conscience. And we can have just as a perverted conscience and never have done all those things that we think about some other people. Came to give us a sound mind, a clear mind, free from sin, free from suspicion. He sent His Son with power to save from guilt and darkness and the grave. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat His mercies in our song. That's our message. That's why there should be joy, even in the midst of all kinds of suffering and trouble. We should still have that courage, that joy. Because we've been cleansed from those things. Freed from guilt. I think there's people that are just racked with guilt. And it shows how they treat other people. Because they're not cleansed from it themselves. Man, when we've been forgiven, we want to forgive. It's something worth sharing. When we've been cleansed, we want other people to know that. I mean, it's such a blessing. I think about my life, and it's almost like there was another person doing that. I don't hardly even remember those things, of the way I used to live. It's been cleansed. And I can forget all about that and get righteous and holy and start condemning everybody that's still living that way. Or I can rejoice and be thankful from where I was brought. You can rejoice and be thankful that you were spared all of that in the first place. Thank the Lord. And let Him cleanse your conscience, your heart from guilt. There's guilt and there's bondage. Even when we're brought up this way, there's still things in there that you can be freed from. Don't get all puffed up and proud. God can't be overcome because He's good. And when we... Do you think God's sitting up there obsessing about how someone's living? He's just good. And willing to forgive. May God grant us grace and mercy. We're in a war. And the war ain't just so you can keep your nose clean till you die. He wants your heart clean, your mind clean. And He did it with His blood. There's a mystery there. I don't understand it. I tried to pretend it all my life, but whenever I finally just gave up, I let go. Told a lady last night, "You've got to let go." How do I do that? You let go. You give it up. Whatever it is. And really let it go. Be cleansed from it. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share?
He was blessed. He's a different man when he left. I don't know what he can do at all. He's a blessing. This verse, Paul told the Galatians, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Isn't it that that we have a choice now? Is the freedom, and not so much that those thoughts never come, but that we have a choice to give place to them. Where before we just assess.
Right. There's a definite victory. I mean, it's not that the thoughts won't ever come, but it ain't the same. It isn't just, there is a victory. There's a one, what, before I was always overcome, and how, now I'm the conqueror. Yes. The battle's still the same. You just, now you have power to win it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Start it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise
mercy never cease.